Our scripture reading this afternoon is from Genesis chapter 4. We begin a reading from verse 25 and we read through till Genesis 5 verse 24. Genesis chapter 4, we begin a reading from verse 25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began man to call upon the name of the Lord. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years, and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And Enos lived 90 years. And begat Canaan. And Enos lived after he begat Canaan 815 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And Canaan lived 70 years, and begat Mahalalel. And Canaan lived after he begat Mahalalel 840 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. And Mahalalel lived 65 years, and begat Jared. And Mahalalel lived after he begat Jared 830 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years, and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Amen. We want to begin a new series in the afternoon service on the believer's walk with God. And for the first sermon, we want to look at this beautiful description of the faith of Enoch. And this is what the Bible says concerning this man Enoch. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Let us turn as well to a text in the New Testament to read about the life of Enoch. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11 verse 5. And notice that here Enoch is included amongst those who have been given a name in the Hall of Faith. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, first of all, we want to look at the words in Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. In Genesis chapter 5, the Bible gives us a list of 10 men or outstanding individuals. These are just some of the people from the generation from Adam to Noah. Methuselah is mentioned, Enos is mentioned, later on Noah is also mentioned. But there is this outstanding testimony about Enoch in verse 24. He walked with God and he was not, for God took him. This is a simple testimony, but yet it carries a truth about a miraculous transportation. Well, the Bible here mentions that so and so died. Enoch did not see death. There was a miraculous transportation. God took him. And all this according to Hebrews 11 verse 5, because Enoch had a good testimony. And as we study about the believer's walk with God, let us begin with the testimony of Enoch. He walked with God. So as we look at these three texts this afternoon, three things we want to consider. First of all, we find here a statement about our personal walk with God. Secondly, this is a walk that requires faith. Then finally, this is a rewarding walk. Enoch walked with God. Now our passage starts in our reading from chapter 4, verse 25 and 26. Notice that in chapter 4, verse 26, this is what the Bible tells us about those that belong to the generation of Seth, and that they worship God, calling upon the name of Jehovah. Verse 26, and to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. The idea in this text is this, that at a time under Enos, people came together as the covenant people of God, and then they held public worship. They came calling upon the name of God in a very public setting. But then when we come to this text about Enoch, the emphasis is different. The emphasis is not a public calling upon the name of God, just like what we do here. The emphasis in verse 24 is this: Enoch walked with God in his personal life. Now this is important. Here we have a very crucial spiritual lesson. In the Christian life, both public worship and private worship must be given the same priority. And I want to stress that. I say the same priority. Not that public worship is more important than private worship, and private worship is less important than public worship. Both must be given the same priority. In the days of Enos, they call upon the name of God, and Enoch walked with God. Now sometimes we throw away that balance. We think that all that is important in the week is the public worship. And then in our business from Monday to Saturday, we set aside the time which we ought to give to God for private worship. Yes, public worship is the chief means of grace. There is preaching, there is the sacraments, there is the public fellowship of the saints. But private worship, our quiet time with God, our private reading of the scriptures, our devotion time with God, is not a lesser means. It enriches our lives, prepares us for public worship. It is a personal walking with God that we find here in the text. Enoch walked with God. The word walking here, in fact, gives us an indication of that. Walking is not running. When we run with speed. We are in a hurry. Sometimes we rush. But when we walk step by step. We are constant in our movement. We are regular in our pace. And so here the Bible says, in our walk with God, step by step, day by day, he communes with God. He clings to his maker and redeemer. Day by day, he puts his trust in him. Now sometimes, the word walk in the Bible refers to a conduct, our testimony. And that also is an indication that that is how we ought to live as Christian believers. Day by day, we must carry with us a Christian testimony, a conduct that reflects our piety, our devotion to God. Walking with God. This is a statement about our personal faith. And that makes this text important. Important because each one of us must have faith in God in our daily lives, in our walk with God. Notice the text does not say Enoch walk before God. It is Enoch walking with God. Now there's a difference between the two. Walking before God means that Enoch is conscious of God's judgment, his precepts, his directives, and his law. So he walks in a way that conforms to God's standard. That is, of course, how each and every one of us ought to walk. But the text here is Enoch walked with God. There is an emphasis about our communion with God, our covenant friendship with God. Now this is one of the most marvelous things about Christianity. Unlike pagan religions, which is all rites and riches, Christianity is a very personal faith. The old reformer Martin Luther puts it this way, that Christianity is all about pronouns. My God, and I, and me, with Christ. Christ in me, and I living in Christ. Now Christianity is that kind of a religion. It is not just rites and rituals and traditions. It is a very personal faith. And Paul puts it this way, the life that I live by faith in the Son of God who gave his life for me. Christ living in my life, Paul stressed that fact so many times. It is a personal faith. How does Enoch express this personal faith? In daily communion, walking with God, enjoying that covenant friendship. Now that is the kind of God that we worship. God is very personal. He is full of love, full of virtues, fills the entire earth with his presence. Yes, in the Reformed tradition, we say that God is transcendent, exalted over the creation. He dwells in the place where no man can approach, highly exalted, glorious and beautiful. But don't forget that the Reformed faith also confesses this. God is immanent. In him we live and move and have our being. You know what this means, brethren? God is very near to us. So much so that James writes that if we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. That is the God that we worship. Enoch walked with God. Daily communion with him. Let me ask the question before we proceed. How is your daily walk with God? Is it a step-by-step, constant reading and devoting yourself to God? Is it a regular reading of the scriptures, praying to him? Or is your Christianity only a Sunday visiting of the church? Yes, in the days of Enoch, they call upon the name of God, but we have this testimony in Enoch. he had personal faith, personal communion with his God. Now the second thing we want to study and look at from this text is this. This walk requires faith. Enoch walked with God. And this is how the book of Hebrews tells us about this walk. So let's turn back to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 11, verse 5. Notice what the Bible says. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God has translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, how do we please God? Verse 6 adds, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Enoch has this testimony that he pleased God. How? By faith. By faith, Enoch lived and walked in a manner that is pleasing to God. Now, two reasons why faith is required in our walking with God. Reason number one, no one can walk with God until, first of all, he receives the Lord Jesus Christ. That he comes to God by the cross of Calvary. You need that saving faith before you can begin and commence your walking with God. Faith is a bond. I like to see faith in that manner. Faith is a bond. It is a bond that unites us with God. And that faith can only come to us by the cross. It is Jesus' works, Jesus' righteousness, given to us that bring us to the presence of God. Faith is that bond. Through faith, we enter into an everlasting friendship with our God. So faith is necessary. Without faith, we cannot please God, we cannot know God, we have no sense of God, and we have no understanding of him. Now, second reason why faith is necessary, because this walk is a difficult walk. This walk, this communion with God, this living with him, before him, is a very difficult walk. Now let me try to explain this to you by referring you to the context. The context in chapter 4 tells us that there are two kinds of people in the world at that time. Cain and his descendants, Abel and Seth and his descendants. In chapter 5, we read about the faith of Noah, the faith of Enos, the faith of Enoch. And all this stands in contrast to the sons of Cain. Now, how did the sons of Cain live? Let's take an example from verse 23, Genesis chapter 4. This is how the Bible describes the sons of Cain. And Lamech said unto his wives, Adah and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech. For I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. If you read before this few verses, you will find that the Bible describes the culture of those belonging to Cain and his descendants. They have a different preference, a different priority. And you find here in these verses a boasting. There is increasing wickedness in the earth because of Cain and his descendants. But this is not all that there is. In Genesis 5, the Bible tells us that amongst those that are the children of Abel and Seth, there is a different culture, a different lifestyle, a different conviction. They walk by faith. Now, I want you to understand, brethren, that Noah and Enoch and Enos lived in very difficult times. They were surrounded by the sons of Cain, increasing ungodliness. An ungodly culture was taking shape. there was increasing rebellion. And you read in Genesis later on that this culminates, of course, in the Tower of Babel, where God has to scatter the people because they rose up against God in rebellion. All this beginning here in chapter 4. There was increasing ungodliness. It was a difficult walk for Enoch. Now, to understand this, I want you to turn with me to Jude, the second last book of the New Testament. Verse 14. Jude, verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of this, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now this is how the Bible describes the descendants of Cain at that time. Ungodly people with ungodly deeds, with hard speeches, ungodly sinners. And Enoch lived in such a time as a testimony of righteousness. Now, we are in no different setting. We need faith in our walking because we are living in very difficult times. Not only is there increasing ungodliness, but even Jesus says that before his return, if it be possible, some of the elect will be led astray. If it be possible. Certainly not at all. But nevertheless, Jesus brings out this thing in the last days. Our walk will be difficult. Ungodliness, apostasy, and all kinds of sensuality, sins, and immorality. Now this difficulty in our walking with God is highlighted in two other New Testament texts. And I want to show that to you. Two texts in the New Testament that shows us that our walk with God is very difficult. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7. Now this is Paul writing, and he says this, for we walk by faith, not by sight. What is the difficulty here? Precisely this. We are tempted many times to walk by sight. And Paul here is speaking about his own life. He's telling us that his body is weakening. His strength is deteriorating. And for the sake of the gospel, he is now so weary and so tired, so that he groans, because his body is becoming weaker and weaker day by day. But then he says, yet we walk by faith, not by sight. Because if we walk by sight and we see our weakening of the body and we see our deteriorating strength, we will never be able to do the work of the Lord. Now, this is something which is crucial, because many times we walk by sight. When suddenly circumstances change in our life, we trust in our investment, we trust in our savings, and we trust in our education. We trust in our insurance company that takes care of everything for us. We trust in this world because, after all, the leaders are so sound with their policies, and it seems to be outstanding leaders in the world. And we trust that nothing crisis will happen because they are so able to manage the country. But who do we trust? How do we walk? We walk by faith, not by sight. And there is another incident in the New Testament that tells us that this walking is difficult. Children, do you remember Peter walking on water when there was a storm and they were fearful, and Jesus was on the shore walking towards them, and then Jesus asked Peter, and Peter walking to him, And Peter, stepping onto the water, realizing that there are water around him and the water is moving and it is a storm, he feared, he panicked, and he sank, because he did not keep his eyes on Jesus Christ. He feared. He not walked with God not out of fear, but out of faith. When we become anxious and fearful in life, we lose focus in our walk with God. Isn't that so? How we walk so many times, we become afraid when things changes, when God changes our circumstances. Sometimes we become anxious and we become nervous, and we find ourselves unable to trust God because we become so distracted. And sometimes when we suffer personal afflictions and we become depressed, we lose our concentration. We become irrational in our thinking, and we lose our faith in God. The point is this, brethren, walking with God requires faith, not only in the commencement, but throughout our entire Christian living. There are many dangers, many temptations. Sometimes we feel like giving up. But remember this testimony of Enoch. He walked with God, and in his walking, he pleases God. So walk by faith. Now the third thing that we want to look at is that this is a rewarding walk. This is a rewarding walk. Because in Genesis, we find here the Bible is teaching this to us, that God took him. He was no longer seen in the earth. Here in Genesis chapter 5, as you follow the reading, you will find that the Bible mentions so and so died. Mahalalel died. Enos died. And later on, Methuselah died. But about Enoch, he was not. He did not see death, for God took him away. This is a miraculous transportation. Hebrews say that this translation is because he had a good testimony. There are no other persons like Enoch who walked with God and God took him. The only other person who was transported into heaven without seeing death is Elijah, that prophet. The whirlwind came and he went up in a chariot. He was not, for God took him. Bible in Hebrews 11 says that he was translated, and that stands in contrast again to what Hebrews 11 say about how some who are faithful men lost their life. Look at verse 32, Hebrews 11. Notice what the Bible says about how some of these men of faith lost their life. What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Some died very violent death. Reminds me of what happened recently in the recent years about an Australian family, missionaries in Gurajan in India, because they were ministering in a very sensitive region. They were burned to death in their vehicle. And here Hebrews 11 tells us that some of these men of faith died very violent death. But Enoch stands in contrast. He did not see death. Because verse 5, Hebrews 11, God translated him. God translated him miraculously. And I believe that this miracle was for a lesson for those in his days. And we must never miss this lesson. Enoch was miraculously translated in order that others may see and others may learn. You must remember that all these individuals mentioned in chapter 5, Genesis, are descendants of Seth, who was a replacement that God gave for Abel. Children, you remember that story? Cain slew Abel, and then God gave Seth as a replacement for Abel. Abel died a violent death, murdered by his own brother. But when now the Bible describes these godly people who are descendants of Abel and Seth, we find this miracle in the life of Enoch. He did not experience death. Miraculous. And I believe this happened for a lesson, happened as a consolation, because death will not be able to destroy the godly seed, the covenant seed, whom God has chosen. Yes? They all died. But this miracle is to teach us that there is nothing that can stop those who are God's people to enter into heaven. Not even death itself. Abel was murdered, but he cries out out of the dust. Christ was put on the cross, but he was risen on the third day. Yes, you and I will die, but the death is not the end. This miracle is to give us that consolation, to teach us the lesson. Amongst those that all died, one stand living without seeing death. Enoch. There's victory in that miracle. That victory points to the victory at the cross. Christ conquered death, conquered the devil, and gave us eternal life, and take us to be with him when we die. In Christ, you and I have a translation. God takes us in Christ to heaven. And this is the gospel that we see in this text. Enoch walked with God. He did not die. God took him. Because believers in Christ are victorious over death. Can you imagine what consolation this gives to the people in that time? When Cain's descendants were becoming violent, and when they thought about their father Abel, he died, he was murdered. This is comforting. Death cannot stop a believer. Enoch walked with God. If you walk with God, brethren, this is your reward. The reward is the miracle of everlasting life in Jesus Christ. Let me conclude by drawing your attention to something which is very common here in our own country and city. People here are very concerned about health, concerned about a good life. We are more health conscious today than our fathers in the past. So, what do? We exercise. And people at 5 o'clock in the evening, they go for their running, they go for their walking, and all this because they want to enjoy a good life. Enoch walked with God, difficult, but he kept the testimony because he knows that his good life is not here on earth. His good life is in heaven. Let me in closing point you to those beautiful words in verse 24. For God took him. And what this means? He belongs to God. And that is what Enoch longed for, and that is the good life which we yearn for. Our life with God forever. We belong to God. So let's walk with God now. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have given to us faith to believe in you, faith to walk with you. We know that this faith is not something that we produce ourselves. It is you who gave us this faith. And we thank you, O God, that you are always close with us when we walk close with you. And O God, we know that it is difficult to walk with you here in this world because we are surrounded by sin and temptation. But we pray, O God, that you may keep us and protect us and guard us and take our hands so that we will walk with you throughout this journey and life and pilgrimage until we reach heaven, where we will see you in Christ face to face. We thank you, O God, that we belong to you. May that thought comfort us and encourage us so that we walk with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.